Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM, stream at krcl.org, or download the app on the App Store. Dollar, 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 bills, 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 I see you running for the bills, 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 dollar, dollar, dollar. Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Cal Mara is a singer-songwriter and producer from the Greater Salt Lake City area. After releasing just a few singles since 2020, Cal recently released her debut album. The album, called Catalyst, is a production heavyweight and one that the team at Slug was greatly impressed by. Her work was described in the words of Slug contributing writer Avery Evans as just plain sexy. In this episode, I sat down with Cal at the Slug office and had a very vulnerable conversation. She discussed how the writing of Catalyst was sprung on by a series of losses, including some friendships she felt confused by as she stepped further into her queerness for the first time. Plus, Cal discusses her use of alchemy in the making of the album, and how it helped her turn some of the grief into self-acceptance. And I'll consider but no promises. Make sure transactions aren't anonymous. And if you wanna perceive me, know your fake con. Know your fake con, but also take your bank. My name is Cal Mara, and I am a musician, singer-songwriter, producer from Salt Lake City, Utah. My music is more electronic indie pop. I use elements of sampling as well as raw instrumentation, and I build around usually a guitar part or raw instrumentation that I've created, and then I'll put sampling and other instrumentation like drums, bass, all of that kind of a thing around that instrumentation to build the track. But I usually start with my main focus in my music is my lyricism, for sure.
Would you consider yourself a rapper?
I feel like, yes, I would consider myself a rapper. as much as I could be, you know? I take a lot of influence from hip-hop. A lot. Yeah. I love hip-hop music now. I take a lot of drum sampling and all of that kind of thing from hip-hop music. So I definitely, yes, I would say I do kind of edge on the side of R&B hip-hop music as well. When I was growing up, my parents met at a Depeche Mode concert, and they introduced me to a lot of 80s music growing up. But as I got older, my dad started to get into a lot more indie alternative music. So that included Daughter and Suit John Stevens and Kings of Convenience and a little bit more on the rock side with Muse, Silver Sun Pickups. And as I continued to grow and develop my own music taste while still appreciating the music I grew up listening to, I started to find artists like Frank Ocean, who was a huge inspiration for me, as well as James Blake. His production is absolutely insane and so inspirational for me. He uses sampling in a way that a lot of other producers are just really inspired by. Also, I love the writing of like Lorde and Lana Del Rey, Phoebe Bridgers. I love a lot of indie artists, but as I've continued my production journey, I've started really appreciating hip hop and like SZA. So I've been really inspired by hip hop the last few years, which has led me to this point in my music where I do feel like I'm kind of intertwining two genres of indie alternative and more of that kind of hip-hop inspiration energy. Calling me a monster, a sucker for a fight, calling me a demon
cause I want you in the night. I hope you know that I'm moving on fine without you constantly making me feel like I never had a good heart and no one did me wrong. No gaslight my past, say I'm the one who was off. We both know I would've gone.
As I've gotten older, I've realized, taking a look back at, you know, my parents, they were so against hip-hop music, and they just really made it out to be like this demonic presence, and I love it. It is so introspective in a way that a lot of indie and alternative music is not. I did grow up a Mormon. I'm ex-Mormon now. That was definitely a huge part of my journey growing as a human being, and has in a lot of ways formed my taste in music. When I was growing up, like I was saying before, I think hip hop was really, it was demonized. In the Mormon culture, it is very demonized. It's really vulgar is what they call it, you know, because it addresses topics that people that are in religion are uncomfortable addressing. And so as I started growing up and realizing that those topics also need to be talked about and need to be addressed and allow introspection in a different kind of way, it made me appreciate hip hop a lot more. I do think that there is a toxic part of white culture that just makes hip hop out to be not like pure enough or something. Moving into a place of really appreciating it for what it has inspired me more than any other genre has, in my opinion.
We can't go back, and honestly, that's just what I
So I just put out an album. It is titled Catalyst. It was released on May 31st. It is 13 tracks and it is 33 minutes and 39 seconds, which was actually just a coincidence. But I do believe in angel numbers. I love them. So it worked out great. So I wrote Catalyst about the grieving process and the different emotions that you experience during that grieving process of losing someone or something, whether it be to death or just to falling out. I recognized that there was a pattern that I was experiencing whenever I would have to grieve. And I wanted to take those emotions and alchemize them because they are really deep, dark emotions that you feel during a grieving process. I wanted to kind of bring them to the surface so that people could have music to relate to as they were in that grieving process. So that's kind of what my goal was with the album. So a lot of the different songs actually are in relation to different emotions in particular, which has been really interesting, especially watching, you know, which songs are listened to the most and which aren't, and seeing what emotions people relate to more so. I came to terms with being queer when I was about 18, so this was 7 years ago. I didn't really understand what it meant to be queer until probably the last few years. I always thought that queerness had to do specifically with your sexuality and what that meant to you, but as I've learned more about queerness, it really has to do with a lot about the ways you connect with the world and with people. And I had a lot of experiences where I really loved my friends, like so, so deeply. And I didn't realize that that wasn't a normal thing, if that makes sense. So I took a lot of time introspecting about that and recognized that that is me being queer. And me being queer is really just deeply caring about my friends and wanting a vulnerable relationship with them. And for me, that is being queer in a lot of ways. I have a lot of friends also that don't identify as being queer, they identify as being straight. And I've had a lot of in-depth conversations with them about how I just view friendship and relationships very differently than a good majority of people do. I was really inspired growing up by The Wizard of Oz and Dorothy in particular as a character, and how she would meet people along her journey and take them with her to the Land of Oz so that everybody could kind of achieve their goals. And I really relate to her as a character because I do feel that way about my relationships with people. When I am close with someone, I want to bring them on my journey and I want to help them on their journey. I think that that in itself is really queer in some ways. So over the past few years, I lost both of my grandparents and I was very, very close with them. And I also have lost quite a few friends, like really important friendships to me that had a huge effect on my life quality because I really cherish my friendships deeply. I tried everything I could to save these friendships and it just didn't pan out. We had just different ideas of what our friendship looked like, and it was really heartbreaking for me. I would say probably the most heartbreak that I've experienced, even in comparison to the relationship heartbreak that I have experienced in my life. I experienced my first homoerotic friendship in the last years, and I really struggled understanding what was happening in the time, but especially afterwards. That's something that's not really talked about in the queer community very much. More so, I think now because of TikTok and because of social media. Yeah, I had some experience with a homoerotic friendship and just feeling more than platonically about someone who I considered my friend. And that was very confusing. They were kind of struggling with the same thing in different ways with me. And that really ended up creating the downfall of our friendship. It was really heartbreaking for me because it's a lot to juggle and understand, especially growing up religious, having no representation of being queer. I had no idea what was happening. I was okay with addressing that I was gay, but I wasn't okay with doing anything about it, if that makes sense. Which is interesting because I have had relationships with women previously, but especially when it was just a friendship and it was clear that it was, you know, just a friendship from the beginning, it was hard for me to understand what was happening a lot of the time. This is when I started kind of learning about attachment theory. You know, there's anxious attachment, there's avoidant attachment, fearful avoidant attachment. I personally am fearful avoidant, and so I flip-flop kind of between anxious and avoidant tendencies, but they struggled mostly with the more avoidant attachment, so they would push more. And that was, you know, when you are addressing any kind of relationship, friendship, anything, you're coming from two different perspectives of what a relationship should or shouldn't look like. It's hard to find a middle ground. We had a pretty bad falling out, honestly. It was really heartbreaking for me for about a year. I really struggled to pull myself out of it for a long time just because I felt a lot of guilt for being queer, I think, and for letting myself accept that about myself. I felt like that was what I needed to write about. There's not a lot, there's more so now than ever, queer representation in music. But even when I was writing this album, there wasn't as much. At least they weren't so accessible. Like, the fact that Chapel Roan is blowing up right now is absolutely amazing. And we need more queer representation like that from female artists. We need more female artists talking about being queer and the experiences about being queer and homoerotic friendships and what being queer really means, you know? I have a friend who is a director that posted a quote a while ago that said, "I love friendships that are romantic and romance that feels like friendship." And I really relate to that a lot. You know, I think relationships can look a lot of different ways that we try not to acknowledge in our culture because they feel too taboo. That makes a lot of people shut down the ways that they naturally feel love towards other humans. So I wanted to kind of break that barrier. I wanted to take all of those emotions that I had been feeling over that time and really plug them into my music, like you were talking about with alchemy. When it comes to alchemizing your emotions, basically it's utilizing one energy to create another energy, or utilizing different energies to basically create a new energy out of those things. I took all of these negative emotions that I was feeling and tried to transmute them into more of a positive energy. the way that I enjoy doing that is through writing and through creating, because I think that that allows people to relate and that can help them transmute their negative emotions into something that's a more progressed concept of the situation. So yeah, that was kind of my goal through all of this, was taking what people would assume as like dark and just emotionality in general and moving that into a more positive light. So Catalyst is an event that creates another series of events. So I named it Catalyst because I feel like I had kind of a series of events that created this growth within me that was not easy. It was quite painful, but it was necessary. And it was something that I was kind of hoping I never would have to face. Things that I would hope was hoping I would never have to face about myself and about relationships and people. And all of these things made me face that about myself and about life. And I'm grateful now, but especially at the time, that was not easy to go through. And I think Catalyst is usually associated with a more negative experience that creates kind of a domino effect. At the time, they were painful experiences, and I really wanted to show through the album that even though they are painful experiences, they can create something so beautiful just by existing in your life. I love working with female artists just because I think being a female artist, you grow up and you're told there's just nobody that makes it in the industry that's female and you have to look a certain way. And I heard that all growing up, like unless you're gonna look exactly like a pop star, then you can't make music. And that is so not true. And the more that we learn how to make music ourselves and put it out there, the more that we're gonna prove those people wrong and we can actually be successful in making music. I really believe music is magic and that it's one of the most beautiful ways to change people's minds and perspectives, and we need that. I think that Blocked is my favorite, one of my favorite songs on the album as well, and I for a long time felt a lot of shame about when people leave my life, I just don't want them to see me anymore. I don't want you to be able to look up my social media. I don't want you to be able to see what I'm doing. And so I would block a lot of people that would we'd have a falling out, and I would just be like, you can't look at me then. You don't have anything to do with me. And I felt a lot of shame about that for a long time because people have a lot of various opinions about if that's okay or not and if they want to do that or not. I think it really is just a personal decision that everyone makes, but...
Do you still block people?
Yeah. I think it is just, it makes my mind feel at peace that that person that did me wrong can't see my successes, they can't see my failures, they can't see anything about my life. They don't deserve to. I mean, Blocked is a satire song. It very much is, it's not necessarily how I actually feel all of the time, but because I'm basically saying in the song, I'm gonna block you, and if you wanna be in my life, then you can send me some money and maybe I'll consider letting you back in, but probably not still. Oh, but I'll take your money. Bless is one of my favorite tracks on the album. I love the beat and the instrumentation. That's what really drew me to write about the topic that I did. Bless is about losing someone and feeling at first this devastation about someone just not giving a lot to the relationship and you getting to the point where you have to say, okay, fine, I'll leave then, I'm done. And then as time goes on, you realize that your life is actually better without them in it, and that that can kind of be bittersweet in a way, but it is a peaceful realization to come to, especially when that person doesn't want to be in your life. That was kind of what that song is about. And I say, you know, I'm lying on the floor screaming more, you give me less, so I am blessed. What? And that's because it's surprising. It's surprising sometimes when you get to the realization of like, oh, I actually am doing better now that they're not here. I did not expect that, but here we are, you know? So that's what Bless is about. You're about to hear Blessed from my album Catalyst in its entirety.
I've been praying every weekday. We can open, you can stop pretending we weren't good friends. I've been hoping that is more time passes. You realize that I'm something you'll never get. A new part of you left knowing you could never live up to my expectations. Say I'll do better and I'll stop all the acting, but I was never in a movie to begin with. I'm lying on the floor, screaming, oh, you'll give me life. So I digress, I'll go. I'm lying on the floor, screaming, oh, you'll give me life. So I digress. So I digress, yes. I've been saying every weekday, weekend, just give it to March or April. Maybe then every day it's more apparent this world is coming to an end. And I guess if you can't even look me in my eyes, I doubt that you can in the mirror at night. And for that I feel a deep sorrow for you and hope that you can see it through. I'm lying on the floor, screaming more, give me less. So I digress, I'll go. I'm lying on the floor, screaming more, give me less. So I am blessed. What? I was lying on the floor, gave me the door, and even less. Told me I was selfish, and after all the disrespect I got today, I think I'm glad that you have left. Yes.
I'm going to forgive myself for my mistakes. I'm going to let other people their own experience of me that might not be true, that might be, in my opinion, false. But for them, it's their truth, and they can run with that, and they can think whatever the f*** they want about me for the rest of their life, and they can get over that on their own.
I am looking forward to performing the album, and I'm also looking forward to making a lot more music with various other topics, and I'm really looking forward to making more queer music and music that gives queer non-men an outlet to listen to and feel like they can relate to. So that's kind of my goal. I'm working on a few EPs right now with some other artists, which has been a huge goal of mine the last few years, is to find some artists that I really work well with and connect with. And so I found some artists that I'm really excited to be putting some music out with in the next 6 months or so. You can find me online on Spotify under Calmara, as well as Apple Music and SoundCloud and YouTube and any other streaming platform. It's just under Calmara. My Instagram is at @KALMARAAA. If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com. Slug is proud to be a sponsor of the 16th annual Craft Lake City DIY Festival presented by Harmons. It's Utah's largest local-centric arts, music, science, and technology festival. Join us August 9th through the 11th at the Utah State Fairgrounds for local art, local music, local food, and more as we celebrate Utah's creative culture and arts community.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.